We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hey, glad to have you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Like what the Colts did to Houston yesterday. Pick on the first play of the game.
Yeah. Taylor rolls out to the right side and throws it, and it's picked off. Wow.
5 seconds. 5 seconds into the football game.
They just ran the ball right down the Texans' throat.
Taylor running right, walks in, touchdown Indy.
How has this team won two games?
Farrell running with it across the 50, fumbles the football, and it's recovered by Indianapolis.
Yeah, Xavier
Are
Rhodes.
You kidding me?
There's some bad football going on right now.
The Texans lose to the Colts again, 31-0. Houston blanked on Battle Red Day.
That's my alarm to get down here to you all. I want to make sure I was here early.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, Clint, that was a rough one yesterday. That was a rough one to have to take on yesterday as we were in the building with many of you at NRG taking in that tough 31-0 shellacking.
Yeah.
From the Colts, they beat the hell out of them the first time, and they follow that up by beating the hell out of them the second time, and it was even worse in this game. But I just want to I'm trying to get to how bad it really was, like how bad it was, and how bad the Texans are right now to this point, Clint. Because it was bad watching it, especially from the offensive side of it. But I listened to Pat McAfee today. And he really put this in perspective. And I'm curious, is Pat just getting a little aggressive, or is it as bad as Pat makes it out to be?
Oh, it's definitely as bad.
Is it definitely as bad? All right.
My bad. I didn't go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's hear this. Let's hear how bad this was with Pat McAfee.
That Houston team yesterday with how the Colts – like what the Colts did to Houston yesterday. They just ran the ball right down the – Texans' throat. Yeah. I mean, it was, they just demolished the Houston.
Slaughter.
0 points. Pick on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, show up. How you doing? Keep it moving. They just ran it right down Houston. And I don't even know if there was enough prayers for Jack Easterby to put last night and yesterday that can make that team stop the Colts. I actually thought numerous times during the game yesterday, how has this team won two games?
Yeah, I know.
How has this team won two? I have no idea. How they showed up for 60 minutes against an NFL team. There's some bad football going on right now.
Is it that bad? Are the Texans in rock bottom area? Is it that bad right now, Clint?
Yeah, look, it's the first time in franchise history to be shut out at home in a regular season. It's the first time in the NFL since 2002 when the Panthers did it for a team to be shut out by 30 points two times in one season. The Texans were shut out yesterday. 31 zip, and they were shut out by the week three, two or three, whatever it was, Buffalo game, 40-0, both in the same season. So, yeah, I mean, right now, show it's all about the 30,000-foot view of this organization. And I think the big question, before we dive into all the particulars, which that's, I love doing that. Even when they're 2-10, I love doing that. But the big question here is this rock bottom? I mean, I pull up to the game yesterday, and the way I come around 610. I'm heading, I guess it would be west on 610 on the south side right there in front of where all the traffic is and 288 and all that jive. And I'm heading west, and usually, man, even this year, you know, there's traffic up on the Kirby, on the highway leading up to the Kirby exit. Like, if you ain't careful, you'll get in a problem right there. Even this year, it's been that way. Hey, man, I come around that corner, come out, shot up out of that that construction that's happened right there. That Kirby dry, that Kirby exit was bare, bone dry.
Got there with no problem.
There wasn't a bit of traffic on the service. I mean, on the exit ramp, much less up onto the highway, two lanes deep and half a mile back. Nothing.
I drove without any stoppage.
Nothing, Sean. None. I mean, no traffic out front. And then I get into the game, and you throw a pick on the first play of the game. You turn the ball over twice in the first five offensive plays of the game. You end up getting shut out by the Colts, 31-0, which is your most hated division rival, your most hated AFC opponent, arguably your most hated opponent in the entire NFL. You got fans yelling at the owner's suite, yelling up at Cal during the game, holding signs up, and you got a coach that's completely out of touch with the reality of the NFL and what it takes to run an NFL and how to run an NFL franchise. This has got to be rock bottom. This has got to be rock bottom.
And I felt like we've been here a couple of times this year. I feel like we've wondered a couple of times this year, boy, is this rock bottom? After the Buffalo game, when you talked about it, it felt really bad, but yeah, I'm with you. I didn't like when you take everything into account of the fans and how they're reacting to it. And as you said, man, one big thing is I don't think I've ever driven to a professional football game in any city and just driven up and had no, I mean, 40 minutes before game time, no traffic.
I'm 10 minutes before game time, Bo. I eased in 10 minutes before game time.
Nothing. I've never had that experience. I mean, a stoplight is the only thing that stopped me.
Well, that's right.
When I was first.
The thing is, Houston, too, they're late arrivers, right? I mean, ultimately, for a Texans game, you get you a snapshot of NRG Stadium about 5 minutes into the first quarter, and that's pretty much where the crowd for that particular game is gonna be at its max. So that usually that 10 minutes before kick, you're usually in. For me, I'm usually in the thick of it now. It's a hassle. Mm-mm, not yesterday, no sir. And you add that it's the division opponent. The way you lost, I don't know that it can get any worse with five games remaining in the season. I don't know that it can get any worse. All things considered, Joe. And that, to me, that's the big question: is this rock bottom, or is there another layer to how deep the dysfunction is in Houston? I don't know how it gets any deeper. You've got to add to my list here. You've got your leaders on, or your best players. Let's be easy with the leaders comment, because I don't know who the hell's leading this crew. But your best players on the defensive side of the football can't stay on the field. They keep getting disciplined, and their helmet keeps getting taken away from them. And your best players on the offensive side of the football, your coordinator doesn't seem to want to target. Your head coach doesn't seem to want to put the best players on the field. So, I just don't know that it can get any worse. I'm really hesitant to say that, because this has been a lot worse than it should be, a lot worse than it needs to be, or a lot worse than definitely a lot worse than it should be. This is bad, man.
That's a good thought. As we're talking here, is this rock bottom? That's the question. That's the question we came in wondering. Can it get worse than this? Can it get? I mean, the fan interest is. I mean, it feels like to this point of one on the field, you're just getting your ass kicked. And I think when you say a division rival, the big part is, you know, the Colts, and the Colts aren't a juggernaut. I mean, I think they got a chance to maybe make a run potentially if they get in, but they're not. This isn't one of the best teams in football, but you know you're not close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look on the field, you're not anywhere close to these cats. And then when you look at potentially the fan interest is more about the pure disgust of how they feel about the organization than coming to the games to actually hope something good happens. Like, it feels like people are coming to the games now to express their disgust, and signs and people yelling at the front office as opposed to actually going there to root on their team.
They have absolutely nothing to hold on to. I'll liken it to the Detroit Lions getting a W yesterday. Look, Detroit has obviously hadn't won a game until yesterday. They're 1-10-1, I believe, is their record right now. There's a lot of bad. There's a lot of reason to be pissed off if you're a Detroit fan. But the one thing you can't say is that Dan Campbell is a lame duck coach. The one thing you can't say is that he's holding that locker room together and they're all fighting together to get a win and ultimately build something long term. And you saw yesterday when the Lions finally won a game, finally broke through and won a game, threw a last second touchdown to win a ball game. You saw all of that build up explode into a celebration, if you will, because all of those players, and I'd imagine a good chunk of their fan base, no, they're not happy being 0-10-1.
No.
But they watch that football team and they go, okay, I can see a little sliver of something positive. And then, boom, they end up kicking the door in, and now all of a sudden, who knows what can happen moving forward. That the Texans don't even have that to hold on to. They're not even close. Week in, week out, you're not even close. Week in, week out, you're not making any kind of plays whatsoever. And I'm not talking about here, there. I'm talking about the entire ball game. You don't have one play. Yeah, you throw a post route up into what damn near was double coverage. You underthrow it a bit. Brandon Cook makes a good catch. I'm talking about sustained, really good, well-executed drives. You know, you don't ever see that. High-level throws, never see it. Big runs, never see it. Creative scheme, never see it. I mean, there's just this crew is in a really bad spot. And I think at this point in time in the season, you got to just sit around and go, okay, we're waiting on rock bottom. We're waiting on rock bottom before they can start building in the right direction.
You almost hope it is. Like, you hope that this is. You hope that this point is as bad as it gets. I mean, you hope.
Well, we've hoped that.
I know it.
10 different times.
I know it. I'm trying to figure out. Well, help me then. What is the scenario that it gets worse? Like, how does it?
Well, you don't play the Colts again. You don't. The only way this thing gets worse is if you wrap this season up. When do they play Jacksonville? When's Jacksonville fall on the schedule?
God, that's a couple weeks.
The only thing that could make this worse is if you have the same types of problems going on in 2 weeks. And what is it, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, not this week, but the next.
Road,
yeah.
So the only way it could get worse is if you go on the road, same types of problems going on, no changes have been made, and Jacksonville drags you. I guess that would be worse because they're right there in the same neck of the woods with you in a sense of being dysfunctional and not being able to win ball games. Even though I think they're at least trending in the right direction, at least you can watch their highlight reel from week to week and see some positive. Maybe that, even though it's on the road, maybe that right there would be another layer of low, if you will. But I don't know if they're going to be given the opportunity to finish lower. Feel any worse than they do right this second.
Yeah, God, as you said, man, you hope it does. You hope this is the spot where it gets worse. But man, you've been there. You've been on 5-win teams.
I ain't never been on one this bad, bro.
I know, but
I've been on some bad ones, man.
You've been on some bad ones, and it's hard. God, these guys got to come back to work for another 5-6 weeks.
Well, they got to come.
This.
The key is the problem is they got to come back to work, and they got to listen to David Culley say that it ain't the play calling, that it ain't the coaches, that it's all the players. They got to come listen to David Culley talk about and Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio talk about just follow David Johnson. You know, just followed Tyrod Taylor, who now has played, I think, 8 games in the last 4 seasons from you know, being injured kind of deal. Hey, just follow, you know, Crugier Hill. Hey, I mean, you know, you gotta hear those things. I wonder how long it is before that stuff wears off, too.
Yeah. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here with you on a Reaction Monday as we will continue to react to this presented by Coors Light. We did learn the field and the college football playoff 4 teams and the matchups. What did we learn, though, this weekend to tell us how those matchups will go? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, for many Texans fans, yesterday was rough as they lost. The Texans lost 31-0 to the Colts. And as we were wondering the question, is this rock bottom, on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light? But, Clint, Saturday was a really, really fun day in college football. And so much going on from start to finish. But we did find out and did learn of what the rankings are going to be in the Final Four. And after Saturday, it wasn't a surprise. Alabama 1, 2 Michigan, Georgia 3 after losing to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and then Cincinnati becoming the first non-Power 5 team to make it into the college football playoff. What did you like? What was the big thing that you learned going into or coming out of Saturday as we get set for bowl season and then this college football playoff?
For championship weekend, you know, I think based off the championship games that we watched, I think the biggest thing to come out of it is that, especially in a year of uncertainty, right? I mean, this ultimately is the year of uncertainty. We got teams, OU and Clemson. We got really good football teams that are traditionally in the mix down the stretch here, nowhere to be found.
Yep.
We've got a top four that's got, as you said, a group of five football team in it, and has been an absolute mess all year long with teams getting upset. And so we were uncertain about who the Final Four was going to be, and excited about new faces, but uncertain. And the Heisman Trophy up in the air. Hell, nobody wanted it. It seemed like nobody wanted it. So this is just all around just a year of uncertainty. And I think when you look at the Georgia loss to Alabama, I think that's the game that you point to that was the most impressive, in my opinion. I think one, the underdog won. Alabama showed up and convincingly beat Georgia. But most importantly, out of that football game, I think several things were cleared up, right? I think Bryce Young was able to jump his team to number one overall and lock up two spots in the SEC for the college football playoffs. I think number two, I think Bryce Young cleared up the Heisman Trophy conversation,
that
if you will.
That should be over.
It should be over. I think he won the Heisman Trophy. And I think even more so, I think Bryce Young in that football game, I think Bryce Young locked up being the number one pick in the 2023 draft. I think he locked up what Trevor Lawrence once was leading up to the draft. Once he got to college, everybody said, that's your number one overall pick when he becomes eligible. I believe Bryce Young put himself in a category by himself and put himself in a spot where I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I look at it and go, I think Bryce Young is the number one overall pick. In 2023, he'll be eligible. If he decides to come out in the 2023 draft, then I believe he's the number one lock, and I think that's where the conversations will go over the next year and a half.
No, damn sure with that. When you put together a performance, like the Heisman's over, like you put together a performance like he did, they lose, they go home, you go against that defense, what, 17 is the most that Georgia had given up all year, and you put 41 on them. Now, I think they got a defensive score in there, but you put up 30-plus points against that defense that had been dominant all year. That's one, because you came into this thinking you thought that Georgia was going to give them. Like, you thought
no question.
This game was going to go like this, but potentially Georgia's way. What happened? Because this is – I thought Alabama and Georgia had similar talent. And to me, I said I'm leaning towards the team with the best coach and quarterback because the talent is close. At 10-0, I was like, damn, this is about to get away from Alabama.
Right.
But they were able to pull it together. What happened?
There were two major surprises in this ball game, and I think it was Georgia's inability to pressure Bryce Young, Alabama's quarterback, and inability to beat their tackles the way that we watched Auburn, I mean, beat like a drum Alabama's tackles in the SEC. I mean, in the Iron Bowl, the final game of the regular season for Alabama. I was shocked that Georgia was not able to get more pressure consistently on Bryce Young. And then secondly, I was shocked that in the first half, I only saw the one blown coverage on the Jameson Williams long touchdown. But according to Kirby Smart, when he went into the locker room at halftime, in his halftime interview, he mentioned two or three blown coverages that crushed him in the first half. And so anyway you slice it, I would have bet a house note that Georgia would be able to pressure Bryce Young. Now, would Bryce Young be able to handle it? I don't know. But I'd have bet huge money that Georgia would be able to get home on the pass rush.
Because Auburn did last week.
For four quarters. I mean, Alabama never had an answer. And then I would have bet a house note that Georgia would have played very, very sound defensively. And they didn't do either, and it cost them the football game. And once you let Alabama's quarterback sit back there in the pocket without any pressure, and then you allow him to get his big shots down the field, hell, and throw in the ocean fashion, half of them weren't even like spots where he had to make great throws. They were throws in the ocean. And, you know, you do that, Alabama's going to run up and down the field on you, and they did it. I didn't think there was any way in hell it would happen. I thought Georgia would skull drag them, like you said, I'm sitting over there beating on my chest at 10-0, thinking, yeah, I can't wait to text show and tell him he don't know what the hell he's talking about. And then all of a sudden, bang, 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 and you look up and you're like, whoa. Now Stetson Bennett's got to go win the ball game for you.
And that was the issue. That was the issue. Yep. By the way, Tyler, you can do it. Give Bill O'Brien a round of applause.
Oh, yeah.
Bill gave it everything he had.
All right. Good.
We drug Bill through the mud, deservedly so, when he was sitting there with 3 points. Late in the game last week against Auburn, and then he put together a game plan, because that's what I'm thinking when you're saying these weren't just hard throws. He had throws in the ocean. Well,
yeah.
Hell, these bad boys getting schemed up.
Yeah. I think you may have made the point. I thought they used tempo really, really well.
Nine was gassed.
Yeah, they had big boy up front that I thought would be an absolute game changer, game wrecker for Georgia. I mean, they had him gassed before the first quarter was up. I should have never doubted Nick Saban. I thought the gap was even too far, too much, too big for Nick Saban, the greatest of all time, to make up. And he didn't close the gap. He slammed the door shut and beat him 41-24. So that was a hell of a game. I think that was the highlight. And I do think it's worth mentioning, show that. I mean, look, tip the cap to Baylor, to the Baylor Bears. I know we got a lot of Baylor Bear alum in this area. Tip the cap, man. Y'all got a hell of a program. Y'all got a hell of a coach out there. And for that game to go down the way that it went down, I love it. Your backup quarterback, Blake Shapen, has to start. He goes out there. He's hotter than a firecracker, puts up three straight touchdowns early, passing touchdowns early, gives you a big lead, hurts his shoulder on a run, hurts his shoulder. It was either late in the first half or early in the second half. Hurts his shoulder and clearly can't throw the football the way he did in the first half. And your defensive-minded head coach puts a defense performance out there, and you end up winning that ball game literally by 6 inches. I mean, literally by 6 inches.
The ending of that game was amazing.
Come on, man. I mean, that was championship weekend was all it was cracked up to be. Even the Michigan-Iowa game and the Cincinnati-Houston game, they were fun ball games to watch. I mean, the
Cincinnati-Houston was great.
Oh, yeah, you like it?
Yeah. I want a little bottle.
You want
service.
A little bottle service.
I want a little bottle service, baby.
Yeah.
I want a little bottle service there.
I'll try to get that to you by New Year.
That's fine, man. Take your time, man. I know
I'll get
you
that thing to you. Don't worry about no baby. I wouldn't have made that bet if I was worried about that baby. I get that bottle to you, baby. I get that bottle to you.
Yeah, man. So that's the thing, man. We're getting into it real quick. Cincinnati, Alabama, in one of the semifinals, those two. You saw Alabama and Bryce Young, but they have been inconsistent as hell in parts of this year. Do you think Cincinnati has any shot?
I don't think Cincinnati has a chance in hell, but I do think that it's going to be a shootout. I mean, you got two teams that schematically are advanced, that are quarterbacked well. I do think both teams are physical, even though I think Cincinnati's not quite as physical as the big boys they're running with now in the college football playoffs. But I think you got a shootout. You got a shootout on one end of the college football playoffs with the Cincinnati-Bama game, and then you got old Larry Holmes, George Foreman, early 50 type of boxing match in that Georgia-Michigan game where I'm not real sure that either quarterback can put the game on their shoulders and go win it, but I do think it's going to be a defensive slugfest, low scoring. Here's a question in that game, show, and here's a question to me in all the college football playoffs, the whole thing, the number one question. Does Kirby Smart go to JT Daniels?
Well, he's going to have time right now.
The ceiling is significantly higher for this offense when JT Daniels is quarterback.
I think he has to.
I don't know how you watch the film of that last game and not realize that your ceiling is very, very low with Stetson Bennett, and you just can't win versus a team that has the ability to run the scoreboard up if the game unfolds that way with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. You don't have a chance to keep up.
No.
So that's the question to me. Do they try JT Daniels out there and raise the ceiling of their offense, or do they continue as planned as they've had all year long with Stetson Bennett? We'll see.
Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And David Culley, he spoke today, and he spoke about something that he refuses to get off of. He refuses to admit the truth on. We'll let you hear what that is coming up.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's a Reaction Monday. Here's Clint Sterner on the show.
All right, it's a Reaction Monday, and Clint, David Culley, he spoke today about this offense and spoke about Tim Kelly as offensive coordinator and the play calling, and he will not come off of this. It is not any of the coaching or the play calling for him why this offense looks the way it does.
No, there's no problem. I have no problem at all with Tim calling the plays or any of the guys on our staff.
Talk about Tim Kelly just then. You said any other person on the staff with play calling. Do you mean anyone else would do that?
No, I'm just saying I'm happy with all the guys on our staff with what they're doing, the job they're doing.
Impossible. Absolutely 100% impossible.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? I mean, 141 total yards yesterday.
Look here. The Texans are 32nd. There's 32 teams in the NFL for anybody out there that doesn't know that. They are 32nd in total yardage. They are 31st in passing yardage. They are 32nd in rushing. They are 32nd in scoring. They're scoring less than two touchdowns a game, right? Statistically, you are hands down, bar none, the worst offense in the NFL. And then on top of that, you're doing things like targeting a player on the first play of the football game. You're targeting a player that's never played an NFL game. You're targeting, what's his name, Davis?
Davion Davis.
You sprint. You take your quarterback. You sprint right. That means you're working the right side of the field. Davion Davis is the number one first target right now. Sprint right. He's in the flats. Boom. Right? And then you got Nico Collins coming across the field who's double and damn near triple teamed. You got Brandon Cooks as a runoff. He's a decoy. He's a runoff down the sidelines. You're not going to sprint and throw that football down there. Right? He ends up throwing the ball towards Davis's way. It ends up being an interception. Poor decision by Tyrod Taylor. No question about it. You can't do it. By the way, option to run as well. Well, he had Leonard Floyd. 53 was breathing down his neck. I think we all know 53 is winning that race. So, yeah, he probably could have picked up maybe at 1 or 2 yards, but he wasn't going to run that thing and get the game started on the right note. So, statistically, you are the worst in the league. And then you do things like that. Like you start the game, you plan to start the game with Brandon Cooks as a decoy route running off the corner so that you can target immediately Davis with Nico Collins coming over on the crossing route. Number one, you're targeting the wrong two guys. Number two, you're running as vanilla a scheme as you've ever seen versus a team that's as well coached on the defensive side of the football that there is in the NFL in the Colts. That is a poor decision. That would be if you had Brandon Cooks in Davion Davis's place and he was the flat right now and you're throwing the ball, you're trying to get Brandon Cooks a quick, cheap, easy touch right now, I could live with it. But the fact that Brandon Cooks was the only receiver out in that route that was never an option tells me your coach, it's poorly designed, right? And then you go to later in the game, which I know everybody's talked about this, but you got a 3rd and 8 situation where the score's getting away from the Texans. They cross midfield. I believe they cross midfield. And it's an obvious situation where it's a 4-down territory.
I call it this play.
It's 3rd and 8, and you hand the ball to Rex Burkhead. You turn around and hand the ball to Rex Burkhead with your little duo inside zone action, and you get 0 push. You've got 11 games leading up to this that show you that that's not the play to call. I don't know how in the hell you don't hold somebody accountable for that. And then you turn around on 4th and 6. By the way, the Rex Burkhead carry on 3rd and 8 went for 2 yards. So now you're sitting at 4th and 6. And you throw a stick route, which is a 5 to 10 yard stop route.
Never had a chance.
To Nico Collins. And the coverage is cover 2. Cover 2, the corner's sitting heavy. Cover 2, the corner is eating that route up. I don't care if you got Megatron running that thing. It doesn't matter who's running that. It's poorly designed. And your quarterback caught the snap and went directly there. I mean, these are all things that there's no way these things happen. Statistics, 12 games worth of film, and things like I just pointed out consistently happening. You cannot tell me that you watch all of that as a head coach in the NFL and you shape your mouth to say, oh, no problem with the offensive play caller. Nothing. I'm not saying that you should strong arm him and bench him. I'm not saying that. You can ride with him if you want to.
But at least hold him accountable.
At least acknowledge what the hell's going on. I mean, this is because you kill yourself. David Culley, there's one thing to not throw your guys under the bus, and there's another thing to make yourself look completely foolish when you're not willing to acknowledge that Tyrod Taylor's playing bad, that David Johnson's not the right dude, that this offense is the worst in the league, and your coaches have as much to do with it as the lack of talent on this offensive unit. I mean, yeah, they're both problems, but when you don't acknowledge those things, you yourself as a head coach look incapable of doing your job.
Like, well, you're not doing it.
What's that?
I mean, you're not doing it. I mean, right now, I mean, like, because to me, I have no belief, Clint, that he is, like, I feel like everything he's saying to us publicly, he's doing there. Like, I think he really believes we just got to execute better. It's not any of the play calling. He says it with such conviction,
Clint. Yeah.
It's not any of the play calling. We just got to execute it better.
There's no, show, there is no.
Which is true,
I've said this before. I've said this before. I could be wrong. But you cannot tell me. I don't know what they're paying the staff as a whole over there on the offensive side of the football. But there's no way that that offensive staff sits there and watches this, the same game I watch. I'm not even talking about breaking down the film the way they break it down. There's no way you don't that you watch that and go, yeah, man, we're putting these dudes in the best spot to win play to play and to win drive to drive and game to game. And these dudes just can't play. There's no way. There's no way.
Like every time.
I just laid out two. I just randomly selected two critical moments in yesterday's football game. There's no way they watch those two. Like, there's no coach in America that goes, hey, first play of the game, we're going to sprint right. We're going to move our quarterback a little bit.
Element of surprise.
We're going to sprint right, and we're going to target Davion Davis in
element
the
of surprise.
That's you'll what see, we're going to do. Out of the gate.
Element of surprise.
Come on, man. Like, there's not a coach in America that does that. There's not a high school coach that does that. Yeah, we're going to go out here, and we're not a very good football team on Friday night, and I'm going to choose as a play caller to sprint the direction of my let's give Davion a little bit of credit that he probably doesn't deserve because we haven't seen anything. I'm going to sprint the direction of my fourth best receiver in on the field. That's what I'm going to do. It's criminal. It doesn't even make sense. If you're going to sprint and cut the field in half, I don't disagree with that. Put Brandon Cooks and Chris Conley and Nico over there so that it's 1-2-3. So you have more options. You literally used Brandon Cooks as a decoy to run the corner off to clear out a crossing route with Nico Collins and your first option, a flat route by Davion Davis, which wasn't there because they jumped it. They double, triple team, and it was a zone, but they double and triple team Nico Collins, and your quarterback has nowhere to go with the football. I mean, it's just, and I get all that. And you can tell me, well, that they didn't block it up. Okay, that's fine. But now explain to me how you target Davion Davis as your first play. You all week long you prepped.
And generally, the first 15 are the ones that, I don't know if Tim Kelly does it that way, but generally a lot of offensive coaches, the first 15 plays they script out. And they're going to run. They've run all week long.
Shouldn't have been one play on that script where Davion Davis is your number one.
He's the primary guy.
And it was the first play of the game. Like, there's no –
Well, he didn't have David Johnson, so maybe he was off a little bit.
Fair.
That's who it would have gone to.
And look, I'm not saying that everything – it's all Tim Kelly, and it's all Pep Hamilton, and it's all David Cullen, all the offensive minds. I'm not saying that it should or shouldn't be one or the other. What I'm saying is the head coach – absolutely crushes his credibility when he steps to the mic in a post-game press conference after having time to settle down and having time to watch the film and literally shapes his mouth to say, oh, well, man, Tim Kelly, absolute no problem. This offensive staff doing a great job. No, they're not. There's not. Everybody involved in the Texans organization, particularly on the offensive side of the football, is doing a horse crap job. Everybody. I mean, there's no – like you can't, like I don't know. I just it baffles me to watch what I watch and then hear what I hear.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler producing this, as we're talking about an offense that is even with their parts, it's unacceptable how bad they are. Even with the lack of talent, it's unacceptable how bad they are. And here is the part of why I think Tim Kelly can't afford to just say, all right, man, let's go to Davion here. Is when you make decisions like that, then what actually happens because your play isn't good enough. And what I didn't think I would say this year, but your decision maker at quarterback isn't good enough to save you from a potentially bad call. Because that was a bad play call. And it wasn't just like, oh, a bad play call that where you didn't get any yardage on first down and now you're second and 10. It was a bad play call that then turned into an interception. Because your quarterback, for some reason, tried to throw whatever he threw that ended up being intercepted, and now your defense comes right out after one play on a short field, 29 yards, and then the floodgates open right off the bat.
Well,
because your bad play calls can turn into turnovers when you're dealing with the talent that you have.
Well, here's the crazy part is I can go even deeper into why it's criminal to have Davion Davis in that position who's never played an NFL game. Davion Davis goes flat, right? He doesn't get the football right now. What you're taught to do is then run it up the sideline like a wheel route and then come back to the sideline last second. The DB keeps running. You're wide open on the sideline, right? He had a half-ass effort to get back upfield, didn't do it right, tried to make it happen too quick, so the DB never took off running. The DB just bit right back down on the out route. So, again, Tyrod Taylor should have never threw the football. But the fact that Tim Kelly put Davion Warren, we can argue that is the on a sprint action where you've got a flat route right now and a deep crosser coming from the backside. I can argue very, very strongly that the first read, the flat route right now, in terms of the whole play, that is the most difficult, and it is the most important responsibility on that play right there. And you threw Davion Davis out there, so we're gonna go to that right there. It's your quarterback's initial outlet if he gets pressure off the edge. Right, it's your quarterback's late outlet if what happened and everybody's covered and he's supposed to break back up the sideline and come back down. And you got to execute those things cleanly. And you got a guy out there when it could have been Chris Conley, it could have been Brandon Cooks, it could have been Nico Collins, it could have been Chris Moore, it could have been all these guys that have experience. You put Davion Davis out there. And don't tell me it was the heat of the moment and it was middle of the game and, man, things were moving fast and injuries happened and he had to be in there. No, that's the first play of the damn game. I mean, it's inexcusable in the first place on so many levels.
Like, how do you even think they got to that?
No
point
clue. Absolutely.
This would be the first play.
Can we please put this in the category? Remember I said they hired Tim Kelly. They kept Tim Kelly. That was one that I just can't wrap my head around. And then limiting or trying to spread the ball around and not getting Cooks as many touches as possible. That blows my mind. Put this right there. How do you start a game? Number one on your list of plays coming out in a football game, how do you sprint to, because this isn't a progression route where you sit in the pocket and you read sideline to sideline. No, you're sprinting to, if it's there right now, how do you put Davion Davis in that position? That decision to do that is in that column of WTF decisions by this guy. I just cannot wrap my head around.
They got a few.
Oh, they got a few of them, but I'm just trying to tell you, like, that's how bad. So the problem is we should be sitting here talking about, man, they just ain't got a lot of talent, man.
No,
just,
yeah.
You know, they just ain't got a lot of talent. Hey, man, the other team made some plays, man. Hey, you know, maybe it was game management. No, we're talking about the first play of the game. We're talking about a third down and eight in a situation where everybody on God's green earth knew it was a four down situation. And you run Rex Burkhead up the middle.
And it seems like that's the thought. Maybe Cully told Tim, hey, you got this, four down. We're going two plays to get this. And I guess Tim
And you
said,
go Burkhead said, inside zone right, and stick to route to Nico?
Guard. I'm going to try to catch him off guard.
Come on, man. I mean,
I'm going to try to catch Darius Leonard off guard here with this. I think a point that you made earlier, which stands to be something to think about, is, like, this team, we understand, doesn't have a lot of talent offensively. But that doesn't mean that you just can go about not putting them in the best position to be successful.
But show that you lose credibility. Like, you can't, to me, as a football head, like, you can't tell me. I don't want to hear any coach out there talk about talent. I don't want to hear any coach talk about turnovers. I don't want to hear any coach talk about penalties. Because you can't even put this offense in position to where Brandon Cooks or Nico Collins or Brevin Jordan or whoever is your first read. You pick the player that would be the absolute last skill position player on the football team if we made a list. The guy that's never played before. You pick that guy to be one of, if not the most critical player on the first play of the football game.
Scripted.
Yeah, I mean, so you can't – and this, my concern, Joe, is like my feeling right now, the locker room has to feel it. I don't know. They're picking up a big check on Tuesday, so they can't voice it. But you cannot tell me that if David Culley's sitting up there in front of that team going, hey, man, fellas, it ain't the coaching. It ain't the play calling. We got to execute it better. We can't turn the ball. This football team, including Brandon Cooks and all the quote-unquote leaders, if they're hearing that from David Culley, it's just a matter of time before they crack.
Yeah, that don't make sense. Yeah, that plan of attack doesn't make sense. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, as we talked about, we've got a lot of understanding of the bowl games coming, and there's a big one here in Houston at NRG, the Texac Texas Bowl. It has been confirmed, and we know who's going to be in it, Clint. A little purple action in this game the LSU Tigers, or however Brian Kelly says
the Tigers.
The Tigers.
Go Tigers!
Face the Kansas State Wildcats Tuesday, January 4th. This is the last game prior to the national championship game, the only bowl game that's played after the national semifinals and before the championship game, January 4th, right here in Houston at NRG. It's Houston's biggest college football event. Get your tickets now at TexactTexasBowl.com. That's TexactTexasBowl.com, Clint.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one right here, man. LSU, the last three games of the season, changed everything they were doing defensively. They are a big-time pressure defense, and LSU's got future NFL talent all over the field. I don't care that they're two or three top prospects this year are out. I'm telling you, they've got some dudes on that defense. They play they're playing a up-tempo, if you will, an aggressive rushing, pressuring style of defense. It's fun to watch. They held Bama to 20 points. They got a dogfight with Arkansas, and they beat A&M down the stretch here. They're a better football team than their record says. And K-State, their quarterback and running
Thompson.
Back. Yeah, yeah, Skylar Thompson and
Deuce Vaughn. If those players.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he's a Brandon Sproles type of player.
Yeah, he's 5'1", I believe.
Is it Brandon Sproles? That's not right.
It's Darren.
Darren Sproles.
I played against him in Little League.
Yeah, he broke your ankle, I heard.
Yeah.
But big game, great game, and obviously, look, there's no question about it. These guys here in Houston, they know how to put on a show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the top bowl games every year to year, in terms of environment and what all goes on around the game. So
probably be the best game you see at NRG this year.
Great point. So, fair point.
Get on out there. LSU, K-State, January 4th. Still go check those tickets out at TexactTexasBowl.com. All right, we've got two different thoughts on the Tyrod Taylor injury situation. One from the Texans, and then one from newsmakers and reporters outside of the Texans. We'll let you hear what those reports are coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.